statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Still around the idea of the word. If you remember on Sunday, I spoke on Gideon, which is very applicable to the last days and the deeper life, and how God is selecting, and the overcomers are certainly characterized by their hunger for the word. Well, I've got a title tonight that we're going to look at, and it says, Those Who Pay the Price to Hear. Those Who Pay the Price to Hear. The walk with God is free, but not cheap. And it costs you everything to make it into the kingdom of heaven. And we have to bear that in mind, because many just come and believe and hope it's going to be a fairly good sale, a good journey, and we'll make it in. But the scriptures always show us that to make it into the kingdom of heaven, we must go through much trial and tribulation. And those trials and tribulations are actually to get us to believe. Our trials that we go through, believe it or not, are tailor-made. Else God wouldn't allow us to go through the trials and tribulations, because he sees the end. We don't. We're on a journey. And he sees that that trial you're going through is going to perfect you, is going to do that deep inner work, that circumcising of the heart. And that is why there is a price to pay, a price of hearing the anointed word in these last days. And there are those who are preaching the word, and who are preaching a pure word and a word of faith. And they are not trying to compromise with the word. And there are those who are preaching this. There is a remnant now that God is calling out in these last days by his Spirit, who want to go all the way with the Lord, who are fed up with just being church members, who want to be a disciple of Christ, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Too many professing believers are followers of men and ministries. And that is not how God calls us. God calls us to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And you will know an anointed ministry because that ministry will always point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. It will never point you to the ministry. It will never point you to the church or a person or whatever. The word will always point you to the Lord, because only the Lord can you believe in. Only the Lord can you release faith. Anything other than that, it is a wrong faith. It is not a godly faith. It's not a faith of the Bible. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, Those Who Pay the Price to Hear. Let's turn to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. Now, as we just open this up, because we're going to look at chapter 8 of Nehemiah, but just to briefly let you know who Nehemiah is, his name actually means Yahweh is comfort. Yahweh is comfort. Now, Nehemiah, interestingly, he was a cupbearer. He was in Babylon. You remember Israel went into captivity, and he is still there in Babylon, and he's a cupbearer to the Persian king Artaxerxes. And this was an important office, obviously, because whenever a king would drink or eat of anything, his servants had to eat or drink of it first to make sure that it wasn't poison. So that was his job. He was a cupbearer, an important office. Now, it's interesting that news came to Nehemiah that Jerusalem was in a bad state. Its walls and gates had been thrown down. There had been abortive attempts to try and rebuild, and it was hindered. And this is the third attempt in which to rebuild the city, rebuild the wall. And Nehemiah, he now seeks God in much prayer, and God opens up the way for him to go to Jerusalem and to reconstruct. And Artaxerxes gives him permission to go, because he sees that he is sad. There's something wrong. So he goes to Jerusalem and to reconstruct. It was so badly needed to rebuild the city. It was so badly needed because the Jews had need of going back for worship. And so the king appoints him as a governor. And Nehemiah faces hostility from local officials, but he outwits them and he continues to build, enabling finally for the Jews to return to their homeland. And so this is where we take it up. And I want us to look now in chapter 8, and we're going to read a few verses here, because we note the emphasis is on the hearing of the word. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the law had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding, on the first day of the 7th month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate, from morning until midday, before the men and women, and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So we note here that all the people were attentive. It says that they could understand. And this, of course, is important. It's no good reading the word of God. It was no good the law being read if they didn't understand. Now, in the Hebrew, this idea of to understand, it means to have an insight. It's that wisdom, that knowledge that we gain. as we hear God's word. It also means this understand to consider what you hear, to think about it, to consider it, to meditate upon it, to take it before the Lord, because it also means its instruction. Now, this is no different for us today. We are told, aren't we, Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing the word of God. It's not just reading, but it is hearing. There is something in hearing that God anoints. Reading has its place. Reading the scriptures has its place. But there is nothing like hearing the word of God. And I'll open this up a bit more as I go on with this. What does it say in verse 8 of the same chapter onwards, verse 8 to 12? So they read distinctly from the book of the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the word of the Lord." So that hearing caused them to weep. They were upset because they realize that they're not living as they should be. They realize that their ancestors walked with God and saw God. They know that something is wrong. It's not right. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And so the Levites acquitted all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." For all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. In other words, they were grieving over their state. The city, the wall wasn't completed yet. There's still a work to be done, but the word brought them comfort. It was bringing faith to them, to believe that God would build, God would restore. They understood, they had that insight, that wisdom, that instruction. Just the same with us. What does Deuteronomy say? Chapter 29 and verse 1. "These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb." He says, "These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses." Did you know that the word of God is a covenant to us? And a covenant needs two people to agree. God certainly agrees. He knows his word. He believes his word. He wants you to believe, to make it that covenant. So there we see. And how about in Joshua? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. Here it's God's commission to Joshua. This new generation that's raised up is about to go into the promised land. And what does it say here in verse 7? "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." So God says, do not veer to the left or to the right, but keep your eyes and heart upon the word of God. In other words, what it means when you veer to the left or the right, you're taking your eyes off the ball. You're no longer able to run that race. You're taking your hands off the plough that Jesus said we are to have. Put our hands to that plough and to go forward with those straight lines. And when you veer off to the left or to the right, it's always a sign you are forsaking God's word. No longer is there faith. You're not hearing as you should be, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. And that's why we pay a price to hear. And that price is you, commitment, loyalty. You see, God looks for those who believe and understand. You see, that's what he's looking for. There are many, many people who read their Bibles and they do it religiously and they read them on Sunday, but it isn't enough. For example, what does it say in Psalm 14? Psalm 14 and verse 2, Psalm 14 verse 2, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. So he says, he looks down from heaven and he's looking for those who are reading, who are hearing the word, but do they understand it? That's the question. And to understand the word of God, you have to pay the price. You have to be baptized in the Spirit. And then your eyes start to be open. You get that deeper understanding of God's word. And that is what he's looking for. That is what he was looking for when he reduced the army of Gideon from 32,000 down to 300. That is what God was looking for. Those who understood the word of God. And that is what he's looking for in these days as he's selecting. There are many. There are many who read the word. There are many who hear teachings, go to church and everything. But are they really understanding? That is the question. You see, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is the one that has come to teach us, to lead us and to guide us. And he will lead you to the right ministry, the right teachers, the right shepherds, so that it is the Holy Spirit that is teaching you. There are a lot of ministries out there, but they are not anointed by the Spirit. They preach by the intellect, by the understanding. That's why they go to theological colleges and they believe that that qualifies them. It doesn't. Any true ministry who's called of God, it is God who calls them. It is God who teaches them. It is God who anoints them. That is why I haven't a clue what I'm going to say. I don't know what God is going to do. All I know is I'm to pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, pray, and just know, as God says, open your mouth and I will fill it. Jesus walked by that principle. He said, I do only that which the Father reveals. I only say what he would have me to say. Jesus wasn't working it out in prayer before ministering. No. It is the Spirit. It is the unction of the anointing. And it is that that we have to sit under, that will perfect us, that will mature us, that will make sons of God out of us. And it comes by understanding that. It comes by paying the price for that. Now, I want to say at this point, please, I am not the only one. There are many, many more who are being trained and have been trained just like I am by the Spirit. A man of God who is called into the fivefold ministry, I can assure you, he doesn't find it, it finds him. And that's how it was with me, because I had my ideas of ministry on something completely different. And you all know my testimony, where I ran away from this for nearly a year. And it was the worst time of my life as a Christian. It was the most barren, unfruitful time, because I was running away from this calling. A lot of it was fear and unbelief. And how God did it is a miracle. And you yield. You yield to the Spirit and you let him do it. It's the same, the call as an overcomer. You didn't find this call as an overcomer. It found you. This is the mercy of God. This is the calling of God on our lives. We'd all be doing something different if we had our own way. This is the sovereignty of God. Now, of course, we have a free will. We can choose to go elsewhere or go second best. But the point is, when you are tasting of the fruit of the land, when you are tasting of the Lord, and you are hearing this word, there is nothing else. We've had people who've left, who've gone to other churches. I've heard them even say, well, the word isn't really being preached there, but they are nice people, you know? You can't grow in that. No, it's those who pay the price to hear. And it's going to cost us everything. What does it say in Psalm 32 and verse 8? Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. That's what the unction, the anointing is to do. God says, I will do it to you. I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show you the way that I have for you. I'm going to guide you with my eye. In other words, it means God has set his eye, his vision on you. Isn't that wonderful as an overcomer? Actually, God has actually set his eye, singled you out to guide you, to teach you in these last days. Hallelujah. What does it say in the book of Isaiah? Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44 and verse 18. Here it speaks about God's blessings over Israel. And he's showing how foolish it is to follow idols. There is no other God. And what does it say verse 18? They do not know nor understand, for he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand. That sadly is what God had to do to Israel. And still to this day, she is blinded. They can't understand. Their eyes are shut. They can't see. So with their hearts, they can't understand. But God one day will lift all of that, and they will again understand. They will again see, and they will embrace and receive their Messiah. But until then, all of that has been removed from you. That's what he has done. He's opened your eyes that you may understand. He's opened your heart so that you may know him. You see, that's what God has done. And he's going to do it again to Israel. So are we beginning to understand now how God reveals his word to us? Flesh and blood cannot reveal this. This has to come by the Spirit. Because we are people who worship God in spirit and in truth now. So, why am I laboring, emphasizing all of this? Because we need to understand the deeper life. We need to understand what the Word is doing with us. These are not just meetings. It's not just another sermon, like so many Christians do. Our meetings, our listening to the Word of God is a divine appointment. It is for a purpose. It is training us. It is leading towards something. That is why we have the vision of the last day. You see, the body of Christ now in the time of restoration. And that's what we are. We are being restored. We are being brought back from. The church, through many, many centuries, has been in decay, virtually dead. Just a remnant through every generation. But now we are being restored for the latter rain, the end time, which is almost on our doorstep. We are being brought into perfection. This is what he's doing. He's doing a perfect work within us. Be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now we understand what perfection means. It means completion. You are being completed, restored. And the way that this is done is to stay with it, to be faithful to it, to keep with it, to keep listening, so that God can restore. He can perfect us through what? The Word of God. It is the Word of God that is going to do this, brothers and sisters. It's not your efforts. It's not you trying. It is the Word of God who takes over our lives, who molds us, perfects us, works with us. Not by might, nor by power, by my Spirit, says the Lord. And so we're being brought into perfection for the purpose of restoration of all things. Finally, for the curse to be removed. Did you know the curse has to be removed from this world? It is in bondage. It is groaning. Read Romans 8. It's all there. And you are part of that release in these last days. This is why we believe in restoration. We are in the process of being restored. I'll just give you a brief outline what the Holy Spirit is doing with us through this word. He's the time of restoration. It's a restoration of divine order in the church. So that is what he's doing. We are the church. You are the church. It's not a building. It's an organism. It's living. It's alive. It's functioning. And you have been called out of religion. You've been called out of bondage. And you have been called into this time of restoration of a divine order in the church. And this divine order is for the headship of Christ. Not a pope, not a bishop, not a deacon, not any of these things. It is not an organization. You are being restored back to Almighty God, Jesus Christ himself. He is your head. He is your covering. He is your teacher, your healer, your deliverer. You are being brought back in direct contact and fellowship with him. Through what? The Word. For he is the living Word. And that Word became flesh. And that is why we partake of that Word. We partake of that heavenly manna now. As Israel was to partake of that manna in the wilderness, so we now, we eat of that manna. It is spiritual. We feed off it, that we grow, in order to be restored back to the headship of Jesus Christ. That is what God intended for the church. But because the church fell for centuries in unbelief and it became religious and denominational, it lost the headship of Jesus Christ. But in these last days, through the outpouring of the Spirit, you are being brought back under his headship and not under man or a pope or a bishop or a deacon or whatever. That is idolatrous. Under this time of restoration, you are being brought back into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That you are led by him. That you hear from him. He is the one that you reveal to this dying world. Not the church that you belong to or ministry. No. We've all got it wrong. It's him you reveal. It's him you introduce to this dying world, because he's the only one that can save it. So, this time of restoration then is the divine order in the church. It is the headship of Christ. It's a restoration of the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, Ephesians 4. That is also what you are being restored back to. And those five ministries are anointed of God to perfect you, to work with you, to build you up, to get you ready for ministry and so on. Read it. It's all there in Ephesians 4. You know it. You've read it many, many times. That is being restored. Then we are seeing a restoration of body ministry, where you minister as the Spirit leads and guides you. You are not looking to the eldership. You're not looking always to the pastor or the teacher or the prophet or whoever it would be. God says, I will use you. That's what's being restored. And how is he doing it? By the Word of God, paying that price to hear. What else are we in the time of restoration? Well, the creation is to be restored. I already said that earlier. It's groaning. Wow, is this world groaning? We hear it every day in the news. There's always something, either an earthquake or weather or a drought or plagues, pestilences, disease, sickness, confusion, wars, rumours of wars. Do I need to go on? It all sounds familiar. That is a sign creation is groaning. It is being desperate to be restored. And you are part of that. The church is part of that. With the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The restoration we're under is Israel will finally be restored in the last days. the fig tree that we are to watch and look. And soon God will turn back to his ancient people. All of which to bring about a theocratic order in which the Lord Jesus Christ will come to rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. And you will rule and reign with him in the millennium, in your ministries. And how is this all being achieved and done? It's through the Word of God. I cannot stress this enough. But this comes at a price. And you pay that price of giving yourself up to God. Yes, you guessed it, but we're going to read it. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. This is what you do. This is how you pay God. This is how you give back to him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that takes the Word of God to renew. It takes the Word of God as we take it into our minds and then into our hearts, so that we can prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The sons of God always desire the perfect will of God, not the permissive will of God, like so many in churches and believers are happy with. It's that perfect will. And for that, you pay the price. And what is the price? You. You present yourself, your whole being, to God. Here am I, Lord. Here is my heart. I cannot give anything else, but I offer this to you. I offer myself to you. And then God takes over. He'll receive that offering. And then he begins to work like he does. You see? You have to settle that one. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Once you're on that altar, there's no coming off, because the fire comes down and consumes it. The fire comes to burn up all the dross and all the unbelief and the rebellion and the things of the past, because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. That is an overcomer. That is one who pays the price to hear. You see, one of the characteristics of an overcomer is their hunger for the Word of God and for hearing the Word. And even God puts that desire within us. But it's paying that price. You see, we have to put the Word and our hearing first above all things. Because you see, the Word will fulfill all we have been talking on. It's God's Word that spoke into being. God, when he created, he spoke the Word and the world was created. We all know, we read it in Genesis. How was it done? By his Word. It wasn't done by God getting his hands dirty and starting to work with his hands to create this universe, this world and everything. No. He simply spoke it into being. You were spoken into being. I was spoken into being. And out of the ground, he formed man. But where did that ground come from? It was spoken first into being by the Word of God. And that is how God does it. God speaks his word to us. If I could put it crudely, without being misjudged, in many ways, God is still creative. Although he's created the heavens and the earth, he's created everything, we have the revelation of his word. And yet in your life and my life, he's still creating. He's still speaking things into being in your life and my life. That's why he speaks his word and says, by my stripes you were healed at Calvary. He speaks his word into your life and my life, that he will provide our needs. He will pay those bills. He will look after us. No disease or sickness will come near our dwelling. He is speaking that through his word to you and I. But we have to believe. There's the conditions. It is still the same. It doesn't change. God's workings don't change. It is by the word that he speaks. Every time. And one of the characteristics of an overcomer is their hunger for the word of God. And to stay with the word of God. And not let it be deviated or changed or whatever. So many are watering it down. Because the unbelief in them says, I can't live it. I can't walk it. No, you can't. That's the whole point. But as you yield over to God, the one who is within you, who resides in you and lives in you, can and will. It's in our weakness we are made strong. That is the whole point. But for that experience, you pay the price for that. That is the whole point. You see, we exist because of his word. Jesus is the living word. We eat of him. We eat of that manna. He said, eat of me. I am the living word. I am the bread of life. I am that manna sent down from heaven. What is manna? What is bread? That is food. You eat of it. And that's what you do. And you can only eat of this word as you hear. For faith comes by hearing. Reading isn't enough. You have to hear as the Spirit anoints. That is the key to this, brothers and sisters. And some hear this and some don't. Some respond to this and some don't. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Because they know that that is God's word speaking life, healing, deliverance, knowledge, understanding, faith into their lives. You know it. I know it when I hear it. I know when I hear an anointed teaching. You just know. Because it's glorifying God. It's pointing to Jesus. And he's blessing it. So those who pay the price, they pay it in order to hear. And that's why not a lot follow. It's just a few. Sometimes you can feel you're the only one. But they are out there. They are around. They are around the world. There are those who are paying the price to hear. Because once you hear, once you taste of this manna, nothing else comes up to it. Nothing else tastes quite like it. That is why we have fresh manna. When the anointing, the unction of the Spirit is always present, you will find the word is always fresh. It's almost as though you've never heard it before. And yet you can read the scriptures. We read the scriptures, we read them over many, 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 many times. And yet it's like the first time of hearing, the first time of tasting. Why? Because it is alive. It is our food. It is our sustenance. It's what keeps us alive. It's what enables us to endure, to stay with it until the Lord Jesus comes for us. That's why faith comes by hearing the word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the one that paid the price. We will never fully understand or fully comprehend, but you did pay the price. And you gave your life in order that we too can pay that price to hear. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you that it gives us life. It quickens us. It delivers us. It raises us up, Father. Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you, Father, that you chose us first in Christ Jesus. Lord, you have put this within our hearts. We were not seeking this. We were too busy in the world sinning and doing our own thing. But you stopped us and you caused us to turn around. And you said that I will make a son, I will make a daughter out of you. And you have put that godly affection within our hearts, that appreciation for your living word. Lord, it's all of you. And we give you all the glory. It's nothing of us. You've taken the initiative. And Father, thank you for bringing us in fellowship today. All my brothers and sisters from near and far, Lord, bless them, preserve them and keep them. Keep them close with you. Keep them from the evil one. Keep them from the trickery of the enemy, the beguiling of the enemy, how he can come like an angel of light. Lord, keep them under the blood of the Lamb and be with their going out and their coming in. Father, be with them in their ministry. Use them. Lead them and guide them, Father, to those who you are calling, Father. Lord, you have a seed out there to be redeemed. Lead each of us, Father, that we may reap them in, we may bring them in. We might not even see the harvest in this life, but Lord, they are there. We know that our prayers sow seeds into their hearts. The reason we're here today and in this room is because somebody prayed for us in the beginning. So may we be found faithful, Father, also. May our prayers prevail before you as we pray and supplicate for our families, our loved ones, those, Lord, who have gone off the rails. Father, you hear us, and we thank you, Lord, for this. And so may we always be led forth in peace, in joy, and in comfort. And may the joy of the Lord always be your strength. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
The Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired. the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Great reward.